Breakthrough Business Strategies Radio Show with Michelle Price, social media strategist, speaker, and your radio host, bringing you high-profile guests every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern who will answer your questions using the hashtag #BBSRadio on two topics, business success mindset and Web 2.0, tools, techniques, and strategies. Now here's your host, Michelle Price.
Good day, everyone, and how are you on this holiday for some of us, Martin Luther King Day? We've got a beautifully sunny day here in Houston where we don't have to wear short sleeves. Yay! I know that sounds kind of weird to some of you who are having winter, and I would love to trade you. So, you know, today we've got a really interesting show for you. We're going to be talking with the people who've been giving you tips, well, some of them for 2 years, some of them for just a year now, that we get on different topics each week. So Don Cooper, who's been sharing with us for a really long time around sales, Andrea Walls, who's been sharing with us around sales, and it's also been around like the mindset, and she helps us to really start kind of wrapping around our brains for the second segment in the show on women in business. So we love how she helps us to take it to different places. And Stephanie Callahan, who is our productivity expert. She really shows us and helps us to understand how we can be much more productive as businesses and business owners. And so what really kind of brought about the things that we're going to talk about today is that all of us have been giving really great tips for a really long time, and we started asking each other, what are the things that we've learned personally about our own businesses? What has been the effect that coaching's had for us, you know, as business owners? And I think what I notice is a lot of times, sometimes we tend to forget the leaps and the bounds of that we've made in our own businesses and kind of bring the story back to a more personal basis of here's what I learned for me, whether it was through failure or through successes. And so that's what we wanted to accomplish in our conversation today. And so I'm going to go ahead and click everybody on live, and I'll introduce you one at a time and just give us a little feel for what is the focus that you're noticing for yourselves in 2012 so that we can all kind of just be thinking about, you know, because we do all have different focuses, even though we all want success and profitability for our business. And I wrote a blog post where, for me, this year was really about totally stepping into my authenticity. Now, while that word is used a lot in social media, and I know some of my social media friends are kind of tired of it, it's not a word in just traditional business that people always have a level of comfortability. And I noticed that I've kind of held back a bit of who I am, and that doesn't serve me, and that doesn't serve my clients. So this year is about really standing in that space and just letting it resonate in its full power. So, Don, good morning, and tell us, what is your focus this year in 2012?
Good morning, Michelle. My focus this year is getting some more structure in my business. I tend to be a very creative type, and so my mind goes in all the different directions, and I have a difficult time really focusing on one thing at a time, and having some structure helps me to stay on track with projects and with goals rather than veering off and being distracted by every little thing. I definitely suffer from shiny object syndrome, as so many business owners do. We get distracted by whatever is going on around us. It's kind of like a blue jay. Oh, look, shiny object.
And, you know, I think it's really good that you're bringing that up, because what I notice is people tend to make themselves right or wrong about wherever they notice that they could use a little help. And that whole conversation's not helpful.
No, no, it just is. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. And once you identify your strengths, you know where you can concentrate your efforts. And when you figure out your weaknesses, you can either work on them to improve them, or you can outsource them, which is the best thing to do. Because if your weaknesses are things that you really don't need to improve, but someone else can do for you, your time and energy is best spent doing the things you're already good at. Now, the things you're weak at include, like, interpersonal relationships. Well, that needs to be addressed, because you cannot be a good leader in your business if you can't deal well with people. So figure out what your strengths and weaknesses are so that you can figure out where you need to go.
I like that. So Andrea Walsh, our dear Go For No gal, tell us, what is your focus in 2012?
Well, you know, 2012 is kind of really interesting for me, Michelle, and thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on today's really interesting show. 2012 is about executing a lot of what I put in place for 2011. We came out with a book towards the end of the year last year, so I'm spending a lot of time on getting the word out about that and doing a training series that goes along with that for the whole year. So a lot of that's just executing the vision I had for last year. And then I'm combining that actually with starting to lay the foundation for a big project that really won't get underway until 2013, but I'm going to get ahead of the curve and start doing some small pieces here and there, so that when 2013 rolls around, that project that I want for that year will be underway. So I feel very organized, very on top of things, and if I don't get my head turned by any bright, shiny objects, like Don just mentioned, things will be, then my plan will go perfectly.
You know what, it's interesting, because what I love about listening to all of this, and this is something that I would encourage people to do that they like to network with or support one another, I think what happens, and this is just my opinion, I'd love to hear your thoughts, is that we tend to forget to check in with people that we support one another and go, what's your focus this year so I know best how to support you?
I would agree with that. We don't check in with ourselves or other people enough. We are often so focused on the now, what am I doing right this second, that we don't stop and step back and look at what we're doing in a broader spectrum, and we don't take the time to sit down with somebody else and say, what are you focused on? How can I help you? And here's what I'm doing, and here's what I could use from you.
Really great points. All right, so let's bring on the Stephanie Callahan. Tell us.
Hey, Michelle.
What is your focus this year? And I'm always scared to ask her, you guys, because this woman is so brilliant. I stand there and I watch her just like a star shooting across the sky going, can I just, like, catch on to your dust trail?
Oh, my goodness. I am humbled with that statement, Michelle. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I love hearing this conversation so far because I'm really resonating with it. And it's interesting because I pull pieces from what all three of you have said. Michelle, especially, you talked about being authentic. I'm saying 2012 for me is a year of coming into myself. In the last 3 years, I've had a lot of health issues, and I actually bring that up because that's part of what I'm going to share with people this year is how you can overcome adversity and still grow your business. And within those health issues, I had found myself cocooning a little bit and holding in part of me. And part of this year is just coming into myself and really sharing the full brilliance that is me. And with that, then I'm also looking at doing a lot more collaboration and connecting with other professionals, and that's what makes being on this show so fantastic, because we're doing that right here today.
Oh, wow. You know, I have to say I'm so conscious, because I just came out of a workshop this weekend that was probably more people were taking it for personal reasons. I was taking it for everything, and it was learning how to use the Tao, the physically, the motions, auditorily, the sounds that actually go along with some of those motions, and what it does with your body as well as activate in your consciousness, and then how that ends up showing up in your world. And I just I want to say I think it's just beautiful that you guys have been showing up in my world, because you each bring something so valuable to the table, to not just the listeners but to me personally. And I don't think I've always taken the opportunity to express that to you, so I wanted you to hear it out loud on air.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So here's what we talked about. We were going to be asking some questions around coaching. And what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to kind of share with you what we've done for our businesses and how it's either contributed to the success or where we've made some of our mistakes and what we learned from that. So I'm just going to kind of go from one of you to the other, if we can just, I don't know, go in a 1-2-3 order. So the first thing I want us to share with everyone is, who here has actually used a business coach? So I'm just going to go in order that we started the show. Don, have you used a business coach?
I have used several, actually, over the course of the years. I've used coaches for branding, for strategy, for my speaking skills, for marketing. I've used a wide variety of coaches, and each one has helped me dramatically.
What about you, Andrea?
You know what, Michelle? I have used a couple, I guess what I'd call short-term coaches. These were like day-long sessions, things like that. But I will tell you this. I have spent, and I'm not exaggerating, I sometimes wish I were exaggerating, I have spent over six figures over the last 15 years on personal and professional development materials. So I consider all of that to be part of my own development, even though it wasn't necessarily in-person coaching. But I've gotten a lot of great coaching that way.
Well, and that brings up a really good point. I'll do that in the next question, though. Let me go ahead and go to Stephanie. Stephanie, what about you?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I could be where I'm at in my business today if I hadn't worked with coaches. And, you know, you mentioned business coaches. I've worked with a number of different business coaches in different capacities, both from a longer-term plan with one-on-one intensive coaching all the way to group programs, and then, you know, information products. I pull coaching information from a lot of different ways. And then I've also used personal coaching to advance my business, because I've worked with health coaches as well, and all have been invaluable for my business.
Well, you know, and I think that brings up some really great points in hearing how everyone's done it and done it in a little different directions. You know, so Don's worked one-on-one with people in specific segments of his business. Andrea's done more through personal development and professional development, but maybe more through the products they created and then kind of went through it, I'm assuming, with you and your husband did it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Stephanie, I'm hearing you saying you've done a mixture of both, and I think that's really interesting, because I'm kind of on your boat. I've done a mixture of both. I've learned and worked with internet marketers through products. I've done, you know, kind of what Andrea talks about with Tony Robbins and a few other groups like that through their programs that was, you know, more of a larger scale. And then I've done one-on-one, of which What I'm doing right now one-on-one is pretty intensive with Pauline Cerici on authentic leadership. Boy, I have to say, when you're willing to step into the space of really looking at yourself with a microscope, that can be extremely humbling. I'd be curious, what has been some of the humbling moments for you when you've learned some of those lessons and you had what I call that palm to forehead moment, like, oh my God, how did I miss that? Don, what about you?
Do you want them chronologically or in order of importance?
Ooh, gosh. That didn't even occur to me. However you want to share.
Michelle, we could fill an entire 90 minutes just with this question.
Pretty much, yeah. It happens all the time. Because that's part of what you learn through coaching is you a lot of what you learn through coaching is stuff that you kind of already knew but didn't realize. And that's part of the power of working with a coach, whether it's a group session or a one-on-one. And sometimes it's listening to an audio program or watching a video program. When there's that connection between what the person is saying or the question they're asking you and the realization of, oh, my God. And it's so obvious in hindsight. And I say that, you know, we as speakers, we get paid for the duh. You know, we're getting paid for when someone smacks their forehead and says, duh, because we as the speaker or the coach brought out the obvious that they didn't realize. And the same has happened to me countless times working with somebody. And it might be in the first 5 minutes. It might be, you know, hours into the process. And there are small does and there are big does. And really that's why you're working with a coach, is you're working with somebody that can show you things that for some reason you can't see. I am a sales and marketing expert. I am an expert in the field of sales and branding, social media, and yet I still work with coaches on these subjects because very often I can't see in myself the things that I can easily spot in somebody else.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Don, because that's been an area where I've given myself a really hard time on, and I have a feeling that Stephanie and Andrea might say the same thing. We tend to forget that because we're smart about what we do with other people, we don't always see it as clearly for ourselves. What would you
Absolutely.
Say about this? Go ahead.
Do you want me to take that or Andrea?
I was about to ask Andrea, what do you think about that?
Well, I totally agree. And I wanted to just, I mean, first of all, I just wrote that down, what you said, Don. We do get paid for the duh, and it's always humbling when we're talking to somebody or listening to something and we ourselves discover something and have to slap our forehead. And I think back to mine. I was actually thinking about this as you were talking, and for me, and I think you guys can relate to this, we were sitting down with someone. This was a day-long kind of coaching consulting thing for speakers, and with this one gentleman who worked with a very, very high-profile speaker, and we spent a lot of money to sit down with him and flew out to his office, and we're sitting there, and he starts talking to us about, setting up our speaking business the way we want. You know, he said, you just need to create your speaking business exactly how you want to create it. So, you know, do you like speaking in the morning or speaking in the afternoon? Do you like, you know, speaking locally, or do you want to speak internationally? And he starts asking us all these questions. And I thought, and this was like just this business-changing moment for us. We looked at each other and we're like, oh my gosh, you mean like we can actually have a say in this? I mean, really? To us, it was always about, you know, doing it. You get in this place, I think, in your business where you're literally flowing down a river and you kind of just go wherever you're asked to go, and you kind of, it's like you're controlling your business and yet you're not. And so that was, to me, it completely revolutionized our business. And we said, oh my gosh, yes, we can actually set parameters and we can make decisions, and we have to be willing to hold to those and not, you know, and if we're going to make an exception, we're going to make an exception. But yeah, there are places we want to speak and places we don't, and times that we do and times that we don't. And we've got to get up the guts and the courage to hold to those so that our lives are, we're designing our lives and our business the way we want. And so for me, that was probably one of the biggest ones, and that was actually a couple years ago, and but it's still for me one of the biggest things that comes up when I'm thinking about those duh moments.
You know, what I liked about what you just said there is that I think it's important that we kind of shake people up and help them recognize the whole point of having a business is to create it so that it serves you, not that you're a slave to it. Otherwise, that's a job.
Right.
Right.
So, Stephanie, what's been your experience?
Well, from a big aha standpoint, I'd say one of the biggest revelation moments for me, and I was actually told, Michelle, in 2009 that I would not see 2010. So when I say health issues, it was pretty significant. And when I looked at the entire situation, I'm a time and productivity coach myself. That's one of the things that I work with my clients on. But what was interesting is that in working with my health coach to try to figure out how I could see 2010, I realized that I had gone from an overworked environment in a toxic corporate world to creating that same overworked environment in my own business because I, you know, you're addicted to things you don't realize you're addicted to.
All the things
I didn't have time to do when I was in the corporate world, the volunteering work, the community work, you know, all those things that were really important to who I am on the inside, all of a sudden I wanted to make up for those, you know, 11 years all at once. And I had 6 different volunteer organizations that I was heavily involved in and at least 10 different professional organizations.
Oh, my God.
Plus my business, right, plus my business, plus being a mom of a young son and a wife. I was crazy, and I didn't recognize that craziness because I had so much passion behind what was important to me that I didn't see that I was creating my own toxic environment, which, you know, is ironic considering that I help other people see the toxic environments that they're creating and help them put systems in place, but I couldn't see it for myself and actually worked myself into a really critical health situation. And I'm forever grateful for the coach that I worked with that helped me see those blind spots that I didn't see in myself.
You know, and I think it's, one of the things that's always helped me is when I'm able to listen to people like you guys who are experts in your own arena, be really honest about, I couldn't see my own blind spots, because I think too many times we put upon ourselves this expectation that we're smart and we should know it already.
That's why they call it blind spot, right?
Exactly. And we all have them.
Every driver has them in their car in one way or another. We all have them.
And yet it's still humbling to accept that. And I think that's what keeps so many people in the state that Stephanie, you described, running around in a toxic environment that's self-created, because it's so hard to ask for help and to admit that you don't know everything.
Absolutely. It's really difficult for people to do.
You know, that brings up an interesting question, Dawn, and I want to hear everybody's thought on this, is if we already know that that's a behavior that ourselves and other people have a challenge with, being able to ask for help, has any of us, and I'm going to hold my hand up first and go, nope, didn't occur to me, has any of us thought about how to write out blog posts or how to communicate to make it easier for people to ask for our help?
I haven't thought about it. That's a really good idea, though. Andrea?
Huh. That's another dumb moment, Michelle. Never thought about it, actually. I will say this, though, is one of the things, and I like that you're always you're very good, Michelle, at soliciting information. And what I have tried to do over the years is I've tried to anticipate what I think people's questions or concerns will be and address those in the things that I create and the things that I do. But I think these days people really are interested in having a dialogue, and talking about their unique challenges. And so that's where I think a coach can add, because there's always a little bit of a nuance.
Stephanie, do you have anything you want to contribute to this?
Well, I mean, in terms of the question that you asked around how have we made it easy for people to ask the question, I acknowledge pretty openly, probably not as frequently as I should, but that it's difficult for people to ask for help with the type of services that I do, because most people have a tremendous amount of guilt around needing help in the types of things that I help people with. And even clients that I work with are sometimes so embarrassed that they needed to ask for help that they'll say, Stephanie, this has been amazing. Please don't let anyone know that I worked with you. So it's very, very front and center in my mind of how deep that emotion goes when it comes to the type of work that I do with clients. But I could probably do more in talking about that with my blog posts and podcasts and that type of thing.
You know, you said something just there that triggered an interesting aha for me that I've been trying to figure out as well. And that is, I was meeting with a couple of people who was given to me by a referral. They're an organization, so not a small company. They're like a community organization. And one of the things that came, my sales lesson out of that, Dawn, was even though I had gotten advice before I went into this meeting, there was something she wanted before we had the meeting that I was told wasn't necessary, but it was necessary for her. And interestingly enough, Stephanie, it's not just your industry that people say, don't tell people I've worked with you. It happens to me, too. And so when people say, can you tell me what are some of your success stories, they almost don't believe you when you say, people don't want folks to know that they work with me. They want everyone to think they're brilliant on their own.
That's true.
You know, Michelle, I've actually had people, when I've been talking with prospects, people that are considering hiring me, that have said, hey, can you give me A, B, and C? And they're wanting examples of times that I've worked with people. And we talk for a little bit, but later on in the conversation, I'll say, you know, I really don't feel that I should have to need this, and I feel bad about needing this kind of service, and that makes me really embarrassed. And then I go back to the first conversation to say, well, remember when you asked me for these things? Here's why some of this is available and some of it isn't. In some cases, I can share anecdotes. You know, I can share stories, but I can't share specific people because I take my clients' privacy very seriously.
Right.
And I could see that happening in each of our areas of expertise, or am
I
being naive? Dawn, Andrea, does that ever happen to you too? People not want to admit?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you guys, I mean, this is like a par for the course for me in that I'm teaching people how to be more persistent and to do it in a customer-centric way. But go for no is all about not taking no, you know, not taking no, quote, for an answer, or taking no for the, you know, one time and then moving on and never contacting somebody again. It's about, you know, understanding that people are going to say no. And so, you know, I am sure, in fact, we've been speaking to mixed audiences before, and you know, literally you have some people in the audience who are the, quote, you know, the vendor or the purchasing agent who are get radically annoyed that we're out there teaching people to go for no. And they're like, hey, when I say no, I mean no. And of course we all know that's not true, but and that it's ultimately it's good advice as long as you don't badger and berate and stalk people and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, this is huge, because a lot of companies don't want to reveal themselves as having gone through a tremendous amount of go for no training, because they don't want to be looked at as, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, we've put our people through leadership training or customer service training, but it's another thing to talk about, you know, things like sales and specifically things like a go for no type thing.
You know, Dawn, that makes me think of something. Is it possible for us to help, or is it just too much work, for us to help clients shift their mindset and their thinking around revealing where they're receiving training?
It can be done. The challenge is so many companies want to keep that quiet, if not because they don't want to admit they're doing it, but because they want to keep that as their competitive advantage.
Mm.
Right, right. Mm.
So as consultants and coaches and speakers, that puts us in a precarious position of not being able to give the kind of recommendations we could. What's been the solution for you for that?
For me, it's accepting that some people want to keep it quiet, but others don't. Others don't mind sharing and broadcasting. So when I work with clients, at some point during the process, I'll feel out how they feel about giving a testimonial or being a reference for me or something like that. And so while I've got some clients that nobody will ever hear about, I have others that have bragged about me and they're on my website and serve as references for me. So I've got some of both. And I think anybody will. You have to be willing to ask, though, and you have to be willing to get a no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find myself in the same boat, Michelle.
Well, Michelle, right. I
go ahead.
I would also say that I think that's a really great point that's been made, because I've had cases where when I first start working with people, they've said, I don't want anyone to know that I'm doing this. You know, don't do anything to put that out there. That's fine. That's what we'll do. But as they go along and they work through the program and they become more comfortable with themselves, they realize that it's not a character flaw that they had, and that everyone is born with different fingerprints and everybody has different skill sets that they're given. And over time of working and comfort, they become comfortable with themselves. And when they become comfortable with themselves, then talking about the people that they're working with becomes much more easy for some.
So that really does kind of perfectly lead me into wanting to ask, we all see that, well, sometimes we see some commonalities that issues that clients have. So what would you guys say are the, because we can't touch on all of them, so what would be the top three common issues, Dawn, that you see people have when they come to you for your training? And I want to see if it ends up being pretty similar for all of us.
It's hard to nail it down to just three. If I had to, I'd probably say the most common ones are prospecting, closing, and maybe presentations or differentiating themselves from other companies. That would probably be the top three. But I almost never deal with a client that doesn't have one of those issues.
So have you noticed, Dawn, is what you see their issue the same as what they think their issue is?
Sometimes. A lot of times, I had a client call me in one time because they wanted their people to get better at negotiating. And in doing the research, talking with the salespeople, what I discovered was what they really needed was a full, broad-spectrum sales training. They needed to know every piece of the process, because while they were getting hung up in the negotiation part of the process, that was being caused by other issues. And I went back to the sales VP and said, here's what I've learned. And based on what I've learned, here's what I'd recommend. Rather than doing a whole program on just negotiation, we do the program on this instead. And he looked at it and said, okay. And so we did that. So he was opened to what I had discovered and my recommendations. And most clients are like that. They'll do what you tell them to if you've built up enough credibility with them.
Andrea, what do you notice?
Well, it's kind of funny, because I guess I notice what I'm working with, and I say that because in the niche that we serve, the thing that I notice most, and the thing, and this is because this is the people that we're serving, is a tremendous amount of fear around fear of failure, mostly, fear of rejection in a lot of cases, but definitely the fear of failure, just a lot, and to the extent of, you know, a lot of people that we help are, you know, they're starting a side business, so they have a full-time job. They're trying to start a business on the side. There's a lot of fear around, you know, the people around them, you know, telling them they're not going to be successful. So in addition to some of those fears, so you've got people with all these fears, and then you have also the second thing that comes in, which is really lack of belief and people thinking that they can't do it and they're not going to be successful and they don't believe they're going to be successful. So then what happens is, you know, they don't do the actions or the behaviors that it's going to take to be successful. And that finally leads to lack of focus, where people will allow themselves to get drawn into, you know, other things, other, perhaps it's other processes, things like that. But for us, Michelle, it really all starts with a wide variety of fear.
Mm, that's a good point. That a lot of times things will, what's the word I want to use, kind of funnel back down into a core thing.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Stephanie?
Well, there's, you know, it's interesting because I hear the things that have been mentioned, but clearly our focus that we're working with when we're working with clients is around business performance, frequently from more of the operational standpoint. And when you're looking at operational standpoint, you look at all of those things, but the biggest issues that I see when I'm working with clients are lack of systems and processes, challenges around time and interruptions, and giving attention to things that really don't drive business results with their time. Time not managed well with email and social networking. So, again, not putting the right focus where it should be on those business-driving factors, but just those things that eat up our time that we let eat up our time. And then just physical messes, physical space mess. You know, one of the questions that he asked Don was, you know, with the challenges that he's seen, is that what people come in talking about? And I can say it's probably 50-50 for me. A lot of people will come to us originally because of what I call a symptom. So say, for example, they have piles of paper all over their floor and piles of paper all over their desk, and they can't find anything. They're part of that statistic of 6 weeks lost in a year just looking for information. And that's a symptom of other things that are going on. And sometimes that's mindset stuff. Sometimes that's lack of systems and processes, and we have to get in and really digest what's going on in the environment to figure out what the true issue or the true problem is, so that we can solve the overall symptoms as well.
You know, I'm sitting here in awe. And this might sound weird to some people, but how could I possibly have known bringing the three of you together, we're going to hit on so many complementary things? Do you guys hear how this is making a whole pie?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. You just sometimes you have to kind of allow yourself to let that soak in and go, okay, thank you so much, whoever helped me tap into this, because you guys are you're like hitting on all the parts of an engine that need to run smoothly. It's just amazing. You know, one of the things when I'm hearing the different, it's like people will come to you and they'll say, whether it's like Stephanie just gave an example or Don, of here's what I think the problem is. And then, of course, you know, our responsibility is to discover, is that really the problem or is that just a piece of the problem? And somewhere further upstream was where a big boulder was keeping the water from flowing, as some people might say. Mm-hmm. What have you learned about that for yourself in your own business?
That's a good question, because I think we fall into the same traps that our clients do. We look at solving the symptoms of a problem rather than the causes. of the problem. Again, because we're too busy working in our business to work on it, as Michael Gerber argues in the E-Myth. And so that's a big challenge for us, is to have the self-awareness to realize when we're making the same mistakes and step back and look at, okay, well, let's say I've got all this paper at my desk. What am I doing wrong of causing this?
What do you think, Andrea?
Oh, Stephanie, you want to go?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, a while ago, and this is for me, I like what you said, Dawn. I absolutely agree with you, and it is good to step back and really be able to analyze what's going on. And for me, and since my husband and I run our business together, we kept looking at, why aren't we really accomplishing and getting all the stuff done that we want to get done? You know, why do things take so long? And we looked and we said, well, one, we are the bottleneck in our business. And really what it was I was the bottleneck in our business. And it was, I had so many administrative things to do and things, you know, just day-to-day things that needed to get done. And honestly, you guys, and this is a hard decision for any, you know, solo entrepreneur to make, but we said, well, we need someone else. We need to get someone else involved here. I think there's fear a lot of times that we're not going to have the finances or, you know, find the right person or whatever. But we actually found someone, and, you know, she works with us 32 hours a week, and she has completely removed the bottleneck so that we've been able to do so many interesting projects and things that we didn't even expect we could do because we removed that one little bottleneck. So whether it's taking the risk, taking the jump and hiring the virtual assistant or actually hiring someone to be in your office, whatever it is, sometimes you just have to make that jump, that leap of faith, knowing that you're going to open up your productivity.
I have to applaud you for making that recognition, because there's so many business owners that don't. And you know, you were talking about fear. There's fear. There's big fear around bringing in other people, whether it's an employee or a contractor or another business or what have you. But I see over and over again those business owners that can see that bottleneck and identify a way to unclog, their business really starts to expand.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, one of the things as I'm listening to all this that's got me contemplating over here is I recognize when I get in my own way, but I don't always know the answer. And so, for example, I'm going to reveal, when I'm working with Pauline, there are times I literally walk away from the session crying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to look at where you're doing things wrong.
Of course.
We've grown
Absolutely.
Up being told that makes us a bad person.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning how to let go of the emotional charge to what I call communications that have been layered on me all these years that don't really serve me. And it's not always a fun process to go through. Do you think that is why, when we either work with clients or even when we work with our own coaches, that we're afraid to be really honest and step into that space because it's not easy?
Oh, Lord, you've opened up a genie in a bottle here. Yeah, our parents screw us up in so many ways, and schools screw us up in so many ways, and that's one of them.
Oh,
by
yeah.
teaching
uh-huh.
that to make a mistake is a bad thing, and that if you're wrong, you're stupid, and you can't ask for help. I remember a great quotation I read a number of years ago, and I forget who said it. It was some business person. He said, in business, we practice collaborative problem solving. In school, they call that cheating.
being in opposition.
Yeah, and and certainly as boys, we're raised to be competitive and to be tough and to never show weakness. We're taught to fight and to win, and you can't be vulnerable, you can't show your weakness, because that means you're going to lose, and losing is bad. And then girls are raised to be quiet and to be strong on the sidelines and to bear whatever is thrown at them. So we're actually taught the exact opposite of what we should be taught for true success. Because if you're going to be successful, you have to ask for help. You have to show your weaknesses. You have to be vulnerable. You can't be successful unless you do those things. So we really have to stretch ourselves in order to ask for help. And we need to recognize how much strength that takes. Andrea?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree. And this, and thank you for saying, I mean, all the programming around, you know, success and failure and being willing to admit that, you know what, you don't have all the answers. We're all doing the best we can. I guess that's why I like so much other people who are willing to share their mistakes and their foibles and the things that they've done wrong and screwed up in their business, because it makes me feel better, because I know that, you know what, we've all been there. We're all just kind of stumbling along. The key thing is, are you stumbling forward and do you keep going? And for me, you know, Michelle, to kind of get back to what you were saying, I think the other issue is, you know, this idea that you've got to be superwoman and that you have, and this is kind of where I was. It was like, I've done two things in my business over the last year that I think has changed things. One, I've just flat out admitted that the things that I am not good at, and I'm over it now. And I think there's just this tendency to always feel like, oh, no, you need to improve, you need to improve. And I just go, you know what, I'm not so good at these things. I'm going to have somebody else do these things. And I also have kind of embraced the things that make me, that my flaws, and I've just actually kind of embraced them. Like, I'm total, like, ADD, literally working on five things at the same time. Eventually it all gets done, and it used to make me crazy. Like, I want to fix that, and you know what? I don't really have time to fix that, so I'm just going to be okay with it and just kind of use that piece of my personality and how I am and just make it the best that I can make it and just get over this need of trying to be the superwoman and trying to always fix flaws and all of that. So, and just embrace those things and then move on.
Talk about a perfect lead into Stephanie.
You know what? I would applaud that as well. I mean, you know, it's interesting because I have a lot of people that will come to me. Let's use the example. I have all kinds of people that come to me. This conversation happens over and over again. And people say, Stephanie, I used to be really, really good at time management when I was using my paper planner, whatever model it was. And then I switched over to this electronic version, and now everything's falling apart, and I need you to help me fix this electronic version. I need you to help me figure out what I'm doing wrong. And I say, why'd you change to the electronic version in the first place? You know, let's really look at some of those things. Did you feel like you had to? Because that's what everyone else was doing. You had a system that worked. And I think we, you know, and we of course, we unpack that and go on into that conversation. But what's interesting, I think, is as business owners, and earlier Bright Shiny Objects was mentioned as well, sometimes we put pressure on ourselves to do things because we feel that it's the, quote, right thing to do. Really, the right thing to do is to find systems and processes and ways of thinking that work for who you are and the business solutions that you're trying to provide for your clients. And that's where you really step into the power. There's not a right or wrong. There's a your right or wrong. And the art is just figuring that out. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to share one thing because we were talking. I really like that quote about the difference between business collaboration and school. And we've talked a lot about fear and messing up. And I know a lot of people know who Michael Jordan is. You know, used to be this huge basketball player with the Bulls, and one of my favorite videos that I watched from him, and nobody thinks of Michael Jordan, at least in terms of basketball, as a failure. And he says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Because, you know, you can look, we talked about business coaching, and a lot of people look at business coaching and, you know, we've talked about the fear and the guilt and all that stuff that goes behind it. And yet when we look at sports, well, of course, Michael Jordan had a coach and his coach had a coach. You know, having coaches in sports is something that we just say, well, yeah, that's what you do. But we're not always there from a business standpoint. And I've used, you know, coaching, I've used mentorships, I've used mind you know, groups where I've gotten together and brainstorming together to help each other. And the more that you can come out of yourself and say, here are the things and here's where I'm stuck and I need help, then people are going to want to help you. People are going to reach out and help you. You just have to be open enough to be able to say, this is where I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, football was just over the weekend, the NFC and AFC divisional series. And you look at a lot of these players, every single player on every team has at least one, and in many cases, several coaches that
right.
work with them. And that makes all the difference. You know, one of the big stories this year is Alex Smith, who's the quarterback for the 49ers, which is my team, having grown up in San Francisco. For 6 years, he struggled. He had a different offensive coordinator every single year, and he had a different head coach for several of those years, different quarterbacks coaches. So he was getting, you know, different instruction all the time. And for a lot of those years, did not have people that believed in him and worked with him to support him. This year, he's got a different coaching staff that have really focused on him specifically and have figured out what he can do right. And Stephanie, getting back to what you said, the right and wrong for him, they
right.
figured out how he can maximize his unique gifts. And now that team is going to be in the NFC Championship game next weekend, which nobody predicted back when the season began.
You know,
exactly.
When I'm hearing that, one of the things that, excuse me, I'm going to clear my throat, is that's surfacing that I think is really interesting that I'm going to kind of share and pull in from what I did this weekend is that we have this sense of, well, sure, they can do that. They're professional athletes. And I'm thinking to myself, well, aren't you supposed to be a professional business person? Why would
Precisely.
That be any different for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a professional is a professional, period, end of story. Doesn't matter if you're talking about being a professional business person, professional salesperson, a professional athlete, a professional author. Whatever it is you're doing for a living, you are, or at least you better be, a professional.
So we've looked at our mistakes. We've talked a little bit about what we see for people. I'd be curious to ask each of you, what do you do when you've helped, and I love Stephanie's language on this, helped a client unpack something and they still don't follow the advice?
That's frustrating. That is one of the biggest challenges of being a coach or a speaker, is knowing that some people aren't going to do what they need to do regardless of what you say. And really all you can do is, you know, kind of wash your hands. Because the reality is we can't change anybody. The only person we can change is ourselves. So we can guide, we can lead, we can suggest, we can influence, we can inspire, but we can't change. That change has to come from the individual. In a company, that change has to come from the ownership and management. If they're willing to change, then there's lots of great things we can do with them. If they're not willing, we can't do anything. Andrea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely, completely. You know, it's really interesting about this whole idea of, you know, what do you do when someone won't follow your advice? And this goes to whether it's personal advice or business advice or a strategy that you learn. And really what this all comes down to is just a very couple, you know, simple choices. One, they think that it's bad advice. For some reason, they don't believe that it's going to work, and so as a result, they're not going to try it. And so it's very hard to get people, you know, it's easy to get people to try something and to just take action, but to change their beliefs about something is much harder. And so that's why when we teach people go for no, we're always just like, you know what, get out there, do it, don't overthink it, just start trying these things, and then their belief has to come on the back end. If they're not willing to take the action and try it and let their belief come on the back end, then there's nothing, again, like Don said, there's nothing we can do. And then the other piece to this, so they don't, if they just think it's bad advice or they don't believe it's going to work, or perhaps they just think it's, you know, too difficult or too hard, you know, too hard of the type of work, and they're not willing to put in the effort, there's not a whole lot you can do to convince or cajole them to do the hard work and to put it in. And then finally, I think for some people, there is an underlying belief or understanding that if they do it, they're actually going to get the results that we're talking about. And it could be that they don't want those results. Maybe there's something else holding them back where they say, you know, this is going to make me successful, and I don't want to be successful. And that's a whole other can of worms. And I look at myself sometimes and I think, you know, what when I'm not doing something, when I'm dragging my feet, I have to analyze it from both ways. Is am I afraid that this will work, and maybe there's something about this that I don't want to do?
And that's a surprisingly Absolutely. Common fear.
Yeah, I would agree. I've actually found personally in my business, it's usually the fear of success that's held me back from following what a coach may say. So there was a point in my business, fortunately I figured this out, but there was a point in my business where I was spending a lot of money on information products, a lot of money on coaching, and I was staying stuck where I was. And as soon as I realized that it was actually fear of success, because, gosh, what does that mean? One of the reasons I started my business was so that I could spend more time with my son, more quality time with my son. And I hadn't caught on to the realization of that fear that I had of, if I'm really successful, I may be working more, and then I'd have less availability for my son, and then all of a sudden those mothering instincts put me on hold. And as soon as I figured out that's the tie that I had mm-hmm. to fear of success, then I was able to work my way through that. You know, when I have clients that are in a stuck position, I'll actually address it. I absolutely agree with everything that's been said. You know, you can't make people do things. They have to be in a position and ready to make that change. I call it out and say, look, you know, we've been talking about this for X amount of time. I don't see execution occurring, or action is not happening. Let's take a step back and let's really look at this. And let's, you know, is this something you want to do, yes or no? Let's, you know, you're paying me for results. You're paying me so that you can move forward, and we're not. So let's really talk about this. Are the goals still in line? If the goals are still in line, you know, what's holding you back from what we're talking about? And we start figuring out what that is. In some instances, they've just gotten to a point where they've decided they don't want to move forward, and then we'll actually terminate our coaching agreement. In other instances, they've realized that maybe the goals they thought they had really aren't where they want to go. You know, they've become a little bit more aware of themselves or aware of what they're wanting to do, and we have to take a step back and redefine what the goals are and then move forward again. And that's the whole reason I use a compass a lot in the branding that we do, because I say, you know, I can't tell you what to do. I can't make you get there, but like a compass can tell you a direction to go, that's what coaching is really about. We're giving direction to help move people where they're wanting to go, but they have to be able to define what that endpoint is in order for the compass to be any good.
Mm-hmm. I like that analogy. I also like the fact that you're straight up to the point. And one of the things that I notice, and I'm having to take responsibility for, is that some of the people who come into my world because they need someone who's willing to stand there in that space and ask them, what's going on here that you're holding yourself back?
Yeah, I'm finding that more and more, Michelle.
I'm curious, because of something that got reinforced for me this weekend, I want to hear everyone's experience as well as their perception on this. One of the things that Stephen Russell, the barefoot doctor, talked about when we were discussing the Tao this weekend, and I asked questions around business, he says it really, whether it's business or personal, it's the same thing. If there's an area that you're seeing an issue surface, whether it's you think it's yours or you think it's a client, it's always yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to sit there and go, okay, where in my world, business or personal, am I playing this out? And he said, if you start addressing in your own world first, sometimes it will unravel itself. In other words, if you see it, you have to own it.
Absolutely.
I'd agree with that completely.
Well, how have you guys, let's talk about this coach-wise. If you've got a client who's not making progress, when you get off the call, do you ever sit down and do an analysis on where am I not progressing?
Oh, sure. Yeah, if I'm having difficulty with a client, my first assumption is I must be doing something wrong. If I'm not reaching them, if we're not making progress, the first place I look is me. Because if I assume the problem is my client, and it might be, but if I assume that, then I am absolving myself of any responsibility as a coach, and that's not right for my client. Andrea?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting question, and I guess one of the things that we've seen in our business is when people still contact us and they say, you know, I get go for no and I understand it, but I'm still having trouble. And the troubles always come back down to fear. And so for us, you know, we've kind of been looking at fear even more and wanting to analyze it for people and wanting to talk about it. A lot of fears around taking things personally, fear of failure, fear of success, like we just talked about, and it's been really helpful, and it has actually taken me down some interesting roads that I'm still looking at in terms of, you know, how can we help people better around this fear issue, because ultimately it's where we see people getting stopped, and so it's becoming kind of a additional extension in our business.
So before Stephanie jumps in, I want to ask a question, though, Andrea, because I think maybe I didn't articulate it really well. Do you ever ask yourself, where am I having a fear, instead of always going to help the client work through their fear? In other words, instead of it always being output, when
right.
is it ever input?
Oh, that's interesting. You know what, Michelle? I guess, honestly, I really haven't. I think what it comes down for me is, no. I mean, I ask myself probably different questions, but they're never related to fear. It's usually related to where am I failing to communicate something, but it actually comes back to kind of communicating to them from the get-go, not as opposed to when we get feedback, which is kind of where I was thinking. But you know what? It's an interesting question. And maybe, you know, by asking where I'm having fear, I can better tap into where other people are having fears come up. But I haven't. I mean, I haven't done that.
What are your thoughts on this, Stephanie?
I totally chime into what you're saying there, Michelle, because and I started doing this probably a year and a half to 2 years ago within my own coaching practice. And so earlier on this call, I mentioned to you that I had gotten hung up with bright, shiny objects and taking action. And I found, you know, I ultimately realized that it was because of that whole fear of success, and I was able to work my way through that. But at the same time, a lot of my clients were stuck on those same things. And last year, at the beginning of the year, I wrote a post about my theme for 2011 was decisive, productive action. And that ultimately meant that I was really going to look at those bright, shiny objects and really take a decisive look at what I was going to do or not going to do, and then take some very productive action to moving myself and my business forward. And what I found is once that broke out in my own business, in my own life, I wasn't seeing those challenges as much with my clients either. So I do think that there's a connection there. I don't know if it's that it's 100%, but I do see that, you know, what you see in others is frequently what you may not be willing to admit in yourself.
Well, some truth there.
Hmm. It's definitely an interesting dance. You know, there's a quote. Thank you. Good Lord, sometimes when the words I can't remember. There was a quote I saw on Facebook this morning. A friend of mine tweeted, Jonathan Fields, who was on the show a few weeks ago with Uncertainty, and he put on Facebook, the arrogance of success is to think that what you did yesterday will be sufficient for tomorrow, which is by William Pollard. And I'm curious to kind of dance this direction for a few minutes. While we intellectually go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's on target, how many times do we really integrate, or maybe that's not even a good word, how many times do we really recognize that for our own businesses, and how can we help clients recognize, instead of being at resistance all the time, well, it worked before, why is it not working now, to taking a totally different stance so they're not wasting so much damn energy?
Well, first of all, I love that quote because I think that's the other big reason that people don't use coaching is they believe that they know it all. So some people don't get it because they're afraid they're supposed to know it all and are embarrassed that they don't. Others actually believe they know it all and don't think anybody else can help. And I have known people and worked with people like that. And that is incredibly frustrating because they won't take anybody else's advice. They're not open to other ideas. They think they know what they're doing, and too often they don't. And you stand back and you watch them flame out spectacularly, and your heart breaks because you know you could have helped them if they had been open to the idea. So it gets back to that vulnerability again, being courageous enough to accept the idea that you don't know everything and being willing to go out and get other ideas and other perspectives.
You know, when I hear you say that, Don, be willing to go out and get other ideas and other perspectives, what I find myself doing is instead of thinking of that in terms for clients, which is kind of usually the way we dance the dance, my consciousness is shifted from this weekend, and I'm saying, where am I not willing to go out?
And that's common. We all need to be open to the idea of other people's ideas and perspectives, and that's hard because it insults our ego. So we have to be willing to let go of ego in order to get the real results you want. When I do a sales training seminar, I state right up front it's not going to be a lecture. It's going to be a dialogue. And I tell the audience that if they have an idea, if they have a story, if they have an argument, to raise their hand and become part of the discussion, because sometimes some of the best ideas come from the audience. I say right up front, I don't have all the answers. I don't presume to know more than all of you. That would be ridiculous. I know some things, I'm going to share those with you, and you know some things, I'd like you to share them with me and everybody else. And very often, really, some of the best ideas come out of the audience. I've gotten stories from my audience members that I've gone on and used in other seminars because they're so good. Now, that requires me subverting my own ego. I can't go on stage and say, hey, I am the know-all, be-all. I am the expert. I have to go on stage a little bit humble and say, you know, I don't know everything. Let's work together on this. But the result of that is a much better experience for the people in the audience, and that's what matters. The bottom line is the results. If you're not getting the results you want, are you willing to do what it takes to get them?
You know, you bring up an interesting paradox. The paradox of being humble and confident at the same time.
Right. And you can be both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How is this resonating or pushing up against you, Andrea?
Well, I love that quote too, and I think I think in my business, when when I find things are getting stale, it's I think there is a tendency to kind of have a process and things that you do in your business, and I kind of have had that down for a while. And I think you can get complacent. That's what it brings up for me, is getting complacent. And when you do get complacent, and you're really just looking at kind of providing the same old thing to people, you start to do a disservice because things are always changing. And for me, this brings up, you know, it brings up change in the marketplace, change in the environment, change in the economy, you know. It's being flexible enough with my own material and what's going on for people to not think that what I talked about yesterday or what I delivered yesterday is going to work for tomorrow. And so it challenges. So I like that, and it challenges me to always look at what's going on today, where I can take go for no, which is kind of my tool, my toolbox, and how can I help people apply it to today's challenges and today's issues. But so there's that piece of it, Michelle, and then the other piece of it is this. I think one of the things that for me, it's easy to also just get in a complacent place and not change, just from a business standpoint. And I told you at the beginning of this call that one of the things I'm doing this year is laying the foundation for something totally new and totally different for next year, and that is based on going in not a totally new direction, but kind of a new mission for our business and what we're doing. Our mission up to this point has been to help people overcome their fears of failure and rejection. I want to actually take that a little broader and a little bigger and a little more life-changing even. It's a piece of it. But so for me, when I hear this quote, it reminds me not to get complacent, not to, and it reminds me to keep pushing, because I don't want to be in a place where I'm just always looking back to what I did yesterday and 5 years ago and just keep putting that out there. Mm. I'm sorry if I rambled on that.
I'm just letting it kind of sink in. You know, it's interesting in hearing you say that. I want to share, I redid my whole life purpose statement at the end of 2011, mm-hmm. and I'll be really, really honest, you guys. I was really annoyed and pissed as all get out that Pauline was making me do this. I was like, I've done this shit. Why are you making me do this crap again? This is a waste of my time. Blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And two things came out of it. I got a much deeper connection to my life purpose, and I recognized, I hate saying this out loud almost, I recognized in my core, I knew it all along, but I was not aligned to it the way I should have been.
Mm. Been there.
Yep.
Been there.
And so I'm curious, how many times as business owners, us or our clients, have that whole complacent, I've done that already, I don't need to do that again. I hear that all the time. I've done that already. I've said it. Mm-hmm. I've done that already. Yet I pulled something extremely significant out of that process.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Steph?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting. You said, so the arrogance of success is to think what you did yesterday will be sufficient for tomorrow. And I'm repeating it because I think it's a really good quote. And when I first hear that quote, quite honestly, the first thing I go is, oh, not another thing to do. Right? Okay, mm-hmm. We're being really transparent here. Let's be transparent. Gosh, what do you mean there's another thing I'm going to have to do? And I think a lot of us feel that way. We talk about social media. Facebook's changing what again? You know, I thought I got that, you know, and that's just Facebook. And then all those other things that come up, I think, but then I'll take a step back and say, it's like those business books that I read, and I may read them 1 year and get ABC out of it. And I leave the book and I maybe don't pick it. You know, E-Myth is one that was mentioned earlier today. That's a great example. Every time I look at that book, I pick up something totally different. And why is that? That's because I'm totally different in the time that I'm reading it. Right. And what I'm perceiving from it and what I'm gathering from it, I have a friend that calls it the pink car effect. You know, when you go to buy a car, you may not notice any of those cars you're going to buy until all of a sudden you're going to buy it. And now all of a sudden, you know, let's say you're buying a Honda Civic, you know, and you don't notice them on the road until it's time for you to start looking at auto dealers. And now all of a sudden you see Honda Civics everywhere. Well, it's not that there's more Honda Civics on the road. It's that your perception is now focused in a certain way that you see all those Honda Civics. And I think that's why repeating certain activities or changing to be current with the market becomes so important, because we're different today than we were yesterday.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I'm over here absorbing, you know, and it's funny because it didn't occur to me until I received a compliment this past week when someone said, you know, I want to thank you. I've been on a lot of radio shows, and you are one of the only hosts who actually let me answer the questions without interrupting me all the time.
Amen.
Yep. Hear, hear.
And I'm sitting here going, how come I don't have that in my branding somewhere? How can I use that to differentiate me from all the other bobbleheads out there?
Dear Lord, Michelle, I wish all radio hosts were like you in that respect. It's crazy how often you'll be on a radio show and you can't get a word in edgewise because the host is too interested in hearing themselves talk.
Agreed.
It's like, why am I here? You can do this as a monologue. You don't need me. And that's a challenge with coaching as well. Is the challenge with coaching is to be able to let your client talk rather than talking incessantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of the job of a good coach is to ask questions and to do the kind of probing that a lot of you have described to get at that inner issue, to figure out what's blocking that person's success. What are the internal things that are standing in their way?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is some of the most effective coaching you've received has been from people who are willing to ask the good, tough questions. They're willing to shut up and allow you to actually answer them. And then they're willing to be there with you in the process to help lead you to the solution, but not just always hand it to you.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to ask all three of you, and we'll go backwards this time so Stephanie can feel first. What? And I almost lost my question in doing that. Damn it, come back question. Oh, it's there. No. What? well, it's not coming to me in the same solidity that I had previously. Just got to love live radio.
Well, while you're thinking, Michelle, let me make one comment that occurred to me as a result of the quote you had mentioned and the discussion about, you know, having another thing to do, trying to having to do more. That complacency is a real challenge for anybody in any field, because sometimes we can get tired of constantly working, constantly struggling, and we would like our lives to be easier. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. It's a lot easier to coast than to pedal. The problem is the longer you coast, the slower you go, and eventually you stop. And when you stop, you fall down. So it's okay to coast every once in a while. And in fact, it's important to relax and coast every once in a while to gain your strength and recharge. We have to recognize that life, though, is like a bicycle ride, and you need to be constantly pedaling. You need to be always moving forward, and it does take energy. It does take effort. The rewards, though, for doing that are immense.
I would agree, but I'd also caveat to say that make sure that you are pedaling on a bike that has two wheels that move, you know, and that you're not on a stationary bike. You know, I always liken it to the analogy of that gerbil that's in the wheel in the aquarium, and he's running and running and running and running on that wheel, and he isn't getting anywhere. And I see a lot of my clients doing that. You know, they are working so hard. I mean, they're smart, and they are dedicated, and they're really working hard. Unfortunately, sometimes they're in that wheel running and running and getting nowhere, and they don't realize they're in the wheel. So as you're pedaling that bike, make sure that it's a bike that can move down the road.
And then to take that even further, make sure that the bike is on the path you want it to be.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I don't think people mind pedaling when they're on the path, when they're on the right path. I think what happens is when you realize you're on the wrong path, you don't even want to get up in the morning and pedal. Everything about pedaling is horrible, and it used to be fun. And so that's why you have to, I think, going to that, you know, the thing that you did, Michelle, working through, you know, what your vision is, and you were saying that exercise, you have to do that, because if you don't, pretty soon you're pedaling and you're literally like, okay, this is, I'm not happy, I'm not fulfilled. So you have to be on that path.
Well, and you think that you've done everything you're supposed to do to put you in a place where you can create what you want. And so what happened for me is I started beating up on myself going, well, you've set the goals, you've created the strategies, you're responsible for all this, and you still screwed up. Not recognizing that actually what the opportunity was, well, wait a minute, let me back up for a second here, and is there a step that I need to clarify before I set the goals and put the strategies into place? It did not occur to me to reexamine my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder how many times people are not doing that. They're not backing up far enough. They're so far into the process that one of the fears that came up for me, Andrea will love this, was I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go all the way back to inception. Holy crap, that's like putting the baby back in the womb.
Right. But, you know, the interesting thing about that is I completely get that. The funny thing about that is you're so much more experienced, you don't have the same learning curve that you had in the beginning. So,
well, that didn't occur to me. You're being too positive now.
There I go again. So seriously, that's the great thing, is we do feel like we're going backwards, and yet you go, well, wait a minute, all the stuff I've learned, all the journeys, all the even going down the wrong path tells us and teaches us something.
Well, you know, I obviously recognize that we could talk about this for a very long time, but we all committed to a certain amount of time today on the show, and man, we've got some really interesting conversation going on Twitter. One of the things I want to ask you guys that I think sometimes we tend to forget is we've each kind of revealed, we've all revealed a lot. We've revealed where we're wanting to focus on 2012. We've revealed where we've made mistakes. We've revealed where we feel confident. We've revealed where coaching's helped us. We've revealed where we wish clients had done things differently, but we didn't reveal how can we support each other this year. And I'm including listeners in on this. So if you're listening to us, I'd like for you to tweet to us using the hashtag BBS Radio. Where do you see you're needing support so that you can accomplish what you're wanting to do in 2012? But I want you guys to share that as well. So we're going to go backwards, Stephanie.
the place that I need the most support, I mentioned earlier that I had cocooned myself as I was working through these health issues. And part of what I'm working on is actually, I know it seems weird from a social media standpoint, but becoming more visible and being out more. I haven't done as much speaking as I would like, and I really want more opportunities to get myself out there and be more visible. And that's something that I'll need support with because I'll probably resist it to some degree.
I just thought of a great blog post in all of that. Thank you for that one.
Well, I've got a whole bunch of blog post ideas now out of this conversation. I think I'm good for the next 6 months.
What about you, Andrea?
Well, you know, I'm still back a half an hour ago. I'm looking at my notepad, and I liked the question that was posed because I feel like I get thrown very often, but this question of if you see it, I wrote this down, Michelle, I think you said it, if you see it, you have to own it. And I want to look at some of these things that I see in other people, and so that's something that I'm going to work on. It's actually, I don't know how much support I can get on this except for the fact that I think this question of, you know, what do I see in the people that we help, my clients, so to speak, that I have issue with? And it's kind of funny. I'm actually, as we were talking, I was starting to analyze some of this. And one of the things is I have spent a lot of time on teaching people how to not take things personally. And it's funny, I thought, you know what, that is one of my biggest issues. It always has been. And so I think continuing to work on owning the things that I teach, I think is going to be important for me.
Don, your turn.
I kind of circle back to what I said at the very beginning of this conversation, which is structure. And holding myself accountable for putting the systems in place that I need for my business to expand, because I'm not a systems person. I am an options person.
I think people, I know someone who might could help you with that.
Possibly. This, I think it's a very fortuitous call for me. I am really bad with systems. I'm really good at getting around systems. So that's the thing that I need the
well
most of is putting together systems that I can work within and make my life easier rather than becoming barriers for me and obstacles in my life. If the system is too complicated, I won't use it. It needs to be a system that is simple, logical, and easy to use, and I'm not good at coming up with them. So that's where I can use support right now.
You know what I heard in that, Stephanie? I heard because the younger generation does a lot of hacking, and the older generation totally misunderstands that word. And, you know, they always assume hacking is like getting into someone's bank account. When it's so funny. And I'm thinking to myself, that would be a really great blog post of how to hack the best system for you.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, yeah, that's a good – thanks for the blog title.
I'll send you an invoice.
No, yeah, okay. you know, just to kind of address what you said a little bit there, there are a lot of people that think that systems have to be, you know, thousands of steps. And one of my favorite things to tell people is it's not about what you should do, it's about what you will do. And build
right.
your systems around that. Because
there you
for
go.
Some people, having an extremely detailed, I mean, unbelievably detailed, multi-step process helps them because they can, okay, I do this, then I do this, then I do this, then I do this. But for people that are more free-flowing, which you know, clearly are, and you're creative, then, you know, and that's not a bad thing. That's just a different style. Then having, you know, a 2,000-step process, you're going to look at it the first two steps and go, you've got to be kidding me. You're
right.
going to throw it. You're going to toss it. So
exactly.
that's, you know, all of what I'm talking about in making sure that you set up whatever you're setting up, make it set up for who you are and how you work, and that's what's going to, you know, draw success to you.
And isn't that what we really talk about at its core level to our clients?
Yeah.
Making
oh, yeah.
things work for your style, whether it's creating the business lifestyle that will be in alignment with what you want personally so you're not in conflict there, or creating the sales rapport, all of those great words, styles, so that you can be best at communicating what you have to offer, or creating the communication that allows you to fearlessly go out and do that, that's going to be different for each person. And
right.
And while we intellectually will say we get that, our actions and our behaviors don't always align with one another.
Yeah, and Michelle, can I just throw something in here too?
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been working on myself is with Richard, and we've been talking about this, is there's, and I like what Stephanie said about have to do and will do, and one of the things I'm really trying to change in my own language is get to do. And
yes.
I want to look at everything as, oh, I get to do this, I get to do that. Because when I start going into, and I see it with him, when he starts going into have to do, I'm like, wait a minute. If we have to do something, it doesn't mean we're excited about it, and that's a huge problem. So now the question is, should we be doing it? What are we on that wrong path? What's going on? And so I think changing that language, and you know what, even if it's something that we overall want to do, reframing your language so that you don't see it as this, you don't turn yourself into that like 7-year-old that's being forced to do stuff you don't want to do.
That's great.
Yeah, because we know how much fun it is to be around a 7-year-old that you're trying to make do something they don't want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. So thank you for all the really great stuff you guys shared today, and thank you for being so willing to talk about the failures and where you want help as much as you talked about where you're confident and where you're successful at. Is there anything that you want to leave listeners with today, whether it's a question or a statement or, you know, just, I always like to offer that to guests because sometimes there's a wrap-up moment for everybody.
Well, I want to echo what you said. Since the three of us are going to be on the show again, you know, several times over the course of the next year or so, I'd like to know what listeners want to hear more about, where they would like more insights and ideas for in their business. So type that into Twitter or TweetDeck or Social Oomph or whatever you use for that with the hashtag BBS Radio, and the three of us and your other guests can use that information as we put together the segments for shows upcoming throughout the year.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, and I'll also invite, because we spent a lot of time today talking about that guilt feeling that people have, that maybe for some people listening, publicly posting that on Twitter may not be something that they're comfortable with, but it's still something that's really, you know, it's near to my heart, and I know it's near to the heart of everyone that's on the call today. So if publicly posting that information is something you're not comfortable with, come to one of our sites, use our contact form, or email us and let us know, and we'll coordinate with each other as well if there's something that you need to have just a little bit more private, because we can appreciate that too.
That's a great idea.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I usually leave a way for people to email at the end of each radio show, and I haven't been doing that in the past quarter, so I will go add that today. There's a couple of things I wasn't able to do on this particular post because it just kind of was a timing issue. So I will make a point of going back and adding that to today's framing post. So if you're listening to the podcast, since we really didn't announce it, we've been interacting with people on Twitter so much, where you would find that would be at www.whoismichellepryce.com. Again, whoismichellepryce.com. And my Michelle spelled with one L. And what you're going to see there is a way for you to actually connect and reach out and touch base with each of us on the show today. I forgot to put myself there. But Don and Stephanie and Andrea are there. There's links to catch them on. Actually, I threw your pictures up. So I will go back and put our links that I usually do every week of how you can reach out to them on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and an email.
Cool.
We need a wrap up. I don't want to do wrap up today. Who's going to give us a wrap up?
I've talked a lot already on this call.
Do what?
I've talked a lot already on this call. I want to give the other two a chance.
Well, we've covered...
Go ahead.
Well, we've covered so many things today that I think what's happened, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what's happened is we're all in contemplation mode.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, Michelle, I will, I guess, I don't know if this will be the final wrap up, but I will just say that one of the things, like the overriding message, if I was to take all of the questions that you asked us and boil it all down into some kind of succinct wrap up, for me, this whole thing was really about not doing life and your business alone. That's, to me, that's what this whole thing comes down. And I think lessons learned and lessons gained, coaching and training and materials that we've learned, that if you are, and Stephanie sharing, kind of holding up on her own, I mean, all of us have done that at one time or another. I think the bottom line is that getting outside advice, having somebody look at what's going on with you with kind of a unbiased, totally objective perspective without any emotions, without a bunch of stuff in it for them, and giving that honest feedback. So it's getting that help, and it's being willing and opening yourself up for that personal development. For me, that's what this whole thing comes down to, is getting that development, because you won't grow yourself, you won't grow your business any further than you're willing to grow yourself. And we've all done, a lot of growth. And so that's what it is for me, is being open to that.
Girlfriend, that was perfect. I don't have anything to add to that other than you guys are going to get an opportunity to hear from Don and Andrea and Stephanie all year long with their breakthrough success tips that they're going to give in their each area of expertise. And I have a feeling that something pretty cool is probably going to come out of this conversation as well. So we thank you for all the input and the questions and retweets that you give us each Monday. And please, I know I say this and you hear it, but I want you to get past the intellectualizing this and move into the physical, take action of this. Reach out to us, connect with us, ask us questions off of the show. Don't feel like we are unapproachable. We are so approachable. And that's one of the things that I've learned over the 4 years of doing this show, when people have consistently asked me the same question over and over again. How did you get to build a relationship with Mari Smith? How did you get to build a relationship with Don Cooper? How did you get to build a relationship with Bob Berg? How did you get to build a relationship with Stephanie Callahan? You know what? I took 10 minutes and reached out outside of Twitter. In other words, we had a private conversation, whether it was Skype, whether it was in person at a conference, whether it was on the telephone,
Mm-hmm. Take the next step, damn it.
My Scarlett O'Hara is coming out.
Nice.
So that's what I'm going to leave everyone with today, and I can't wait to have you guys all back on the show again. Thank you so much. And again, www.whoismichellepryce.com. I'll go add those links in the next 5 minutes.
No, 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 no.